to the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5, 34 minutes after the hour on this Friday morning. Just real quick here while we were during the break. Just for the heck of it, I looked this up. You want to take a train from New Orleans to Chicago. This is from Union Station there to whatever the main train station in Chicago is. $477 round trip. If you're heading up there, though, you leave at 2:45 in the afternoon, and you arrive at 10:45 the next day. And this is, I'm sure, some more time. But if you want to fly, out of Louis Armstrong area in New Orleans, and you want to take a plane to Midway, Chicago, and this is round trip, whopping $233, and you can leave at 6 a.m., and you'll be there by 8:30. Now, why are we spinning our wheels on this rail service? Oh, well, even if we built high-speed rail infrastructure, you cut that time in half. Is that still efficient? Anyway, that's your tax dollars. That's what they want to do with your tax dollars. But enough of that. Joining us now on the program, my pleasure to introduce from Fayette. First time he's been on this program down here in Mobile. State Representative Kyle South. Representative, good morning to you.
Good morning, Jeff. How are you?
Doing well. Thanks for making time for us. We do appreciate it. Want to get into, I guess, first off, how are things going up your way? How is the COVID response going?
So, ready for things to open back up. Feel like things are slowly dissipating as far as cases and hospitalizations, so things like that. And ready to get back to normal. I know we've got to be a little bit careful, but things like we're getting closer and closer to that mark.
Yeah, and it seems like that's kind of the case statewide in general. But let's start talking about what I asked you to come on for, and your House Bill 404 here that would create a pathway for student athletes to use when companies use their likeness, that you're laying the groundwork for that. And what this legislation is intended to do. Kind of talk to us about that, and maybe I butchered that assessment of it, but give us kind of your assessment.
Yeah, so listen, my preference would be for Congress to come in and put together a framework that would be across the board, every state playing by the same rules, and I think that will come in the end. But in the meantime, the NCAA is considering bylaw changes to allow student-athletes to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. And kind of the rush on things in Alabama was the state of Florida passed similar legislation that goes into effect on July 1. And my whole goal was to make sure that our in-state student-athletes are not put at a disadvantage and our institutions are not recruited against on that basis.
Yeah, so for example, Florida State, Miami, or whatever could say, hey, yeah, but we have if the day ever comes that you could be compensated for your likeness here in Florida, they don't have that in Alabama, you should consider coming to play here.
Exactly. And for the student athlete, they're locking themselves in for the most part for a 4-year tenure at one of those institutions, and Florida could say, hey, you're here for 4 years. If that happens during that duration, you're taken care of. So we wanted to put that framework in place. If it were today, somebody can't be compensated for their name, image, and likeness because it would still be against NCAA rules. And I know there's a lot of people out there that don't agree with student-athletes being compensated and the whole amateur argument and all that kind of stuff. That's not where I came from. I understand those sentiments, but we want to make sure that our in-state institutions are not disadvantaged through this.
Right. But in the meantime, we're waiting for Congress to act or the NCAA to at least work out some kind of agreement that would make this possible, because for now, that's on hold. But in the event that does happen, Alabama's ready to go.
There you go. That's exactly what our goal was. And as you see things moving at the federal level and just nationally with the NCAA, all this originated back in 93 or 94 with the Ed O'Bannon case and EA Sports. EA Sports has recently announced that the video games, collegiate video games, are coming back this fall. So there's every indication that this is coming a little bit quicker than what most think.
Yeah, and do you, I mean, I guess it's just being ready for that. But do you think it's that student athletes should be compensated for their likeness?
You know, that I go both ways. I think to a great extent they get a great value with scholarship and room and board and those kinds of things that others are not afforded, right? But at the same time, if there's going to be profits made off of a student athlete, then maybe there is a case there to share in that. The simple fact of the matter is the Supreme Court has already ruled that they can, and UCAA has kind of been a little bit stubborn, and they're going to have the final say unless Congress steps in.
Well, a student athlete could sue or do something like that, but in the meantime, it just sounds like we're at least gearing up, because this looks like something like this is probably inevitable, that later on down the road here that they're going to be some kind of way to compensate student athletes when these situations apply.
Yeah, and you're right, but the suit's already been won. You know, it went through the court system for years and years with that Ed O'Bannon case, and so there's a precedent already set, and you know, he was on the cover of NCAA basketball game and thought he needed to be compensated after the fact, and 10 years later won a settlement of some sort.
Well, we'll see how that plays out. I just there's this old school mentality, though, and it's stuck for years and years and years, that you need a solid wall between compensation and amateur athletes, and that would include licensings and likenesses.
Yep. I don't disagree with that either. So I just wanted to make sure with this piece of legislation that we were prepared in the case that we did move in the other direction.
So this bill, kind of give us where it is and where it's headed next.
So it's passed the House. It is in the Senate. And if I'm not mistaken, it's already passed committee in the Senate, so it's ready for its day on the floor, and fully expect there to be a conversation had when it gets to the floor, but inevitably be passed and put into law prior to the summer.
Joined by State Representative Kyle South of Fayette here on the program. Representative, here's another, this is tangentially related, I suppose, but the whole gambling issue seems to have be the hot topic when we talk about state politics on this show. A part of that is this idea that we would offer sports gambling in Alabama, part of the comprehensive gaming bill in the Senate. What do you think of that? And I've always kind of wondered. I always thought there was a hesitancy to approach sports betting in Alabama just because of the what implications might that have on college football in the state? It's such a important part of the culture here. There was always this fear that could interfere with Alabama or Auburn football.
Well, Jeff, let's be honest. We're kidding ourselves if we don't think sports gaming is not already going on in the state. It's just going unregulated, untaxed, and unmonitored right now. So I've seen studies before that show Alabama is per capita is the biggest sports gaming state in the nation. So that's where I come from on it. I think it needs to be a regulated, game because it's going on today, and there's a lot of good that can come and a lot of safeguards that would be put in place if it were in a legal regulated environment.
Well, but I guess the ease of which you could go place a wager, that there would have to be that would have to be a consideration. When you go to Vegas or wherever, or at least they used to do this, you couldn't bet on UNLV. I guess maybe that's changed now, but there was a time when you couldn't do that. They had prohibitions on, you know, just because of the proximity. None of that seems to bother you.
I think in a regulated world, you can understand, monitor those types of things a lot better than you can right now. And I understand the concern there, because college sports in the state of Alabama, you know, we have no professional sports leagues, those kind of things. So understand we've got to keep that clean. We've got to make sure that we're not putting student athletes in a precarious situation. But it's taking place today, and we need to make sure we build safeguards into any legislation that comes forward.
Also kind of related to that issue, now probably a lot of our listeners are maybe they're aware, but maybe not. You're the reason that we're allowed to do these fantasy sports gaming sites, you know, particularly if people play fantasy football, FanDuels or whatever the others are. You spearheaded that effort to make that legal, because beforehand it was, you know, it was prohibited based on an old attorney general opinion. But how is that working out? I know the state's getting some revenue from it, but is that effort you had a couple of years ago working out like you had intended it?
Yeah, I think so. That state is now getting some revenue on it. It's not earth-shattering revenue, but it is revenue. Folks are allowed to play now and don't have to be fearful of doing something illegal to play a game with their buddies. And that was the intent from the outset. You know, the question with the attorney general at the time was it gambling or was it a game of skill? And my mom probably would not appreciate this, but, you know, when we were debating the bill, I said, if we play 10 times, I'm going to beat her 9 because I know more about this, the professional sports aspect of it than she does. So to me, it was a game of skill, and which is much different than the game of chance when it comes to sports wagering. So I think all in all, had a conversation with the Attorney General's office this past week. Everything seems to be going pretty smoothly.
Yeah, you're not hearing people, you know, betting next month's rent on this week's fantasy football lineup or any of those kinds of fears. This seems to be a very benign, harmless, almost form of entertainment.
Absolutely. You know, for me, it's a way of staying engaged when it comes to professional sports, because I'm not, you know, I don't have 18, so to speak. And it's a way to keep an interest in a game and follow your players and maybe your favorite collegiate players that you have here in the state as they go professional and those kinds of things.
Yeah, because like one of your challenges, if I recall at the time, was really making that, explaining that to maybe some of your colleagues, maybe weren't as familiar with it, or are the public not as familiar with what fantasy football was, or what any of these leagues were. It's not just football, but it's baseball, basketball, or whatever, stock car racing, that you had to explain that there's a, you had to have a certain sort of skill set or knowledge base to excel in this arena.
100% agree with it. You know, there is a skill set, a knowledge set that you have to have going into that, or you're going to give your buddies your money.
Well, yeah. Well, now it's a thing in Alabama. A final representative, this is not related to any of this at all, but during the state address, Governor Ivey, one of your county is one of these counties, people not familiar with it, to the north of Tuscaloosa, there, Fayette County, but not having four-lane access to an interstate highway. She mentioned Fayette County in her State of the State address. You know, your reaction to it, and do you know any of the specifics of what she was referring to?
So I'll be honest with you, Jeff. I was shocked that night to hear those words come out of her mouth, and pleasantly surprised. Fayette County is one of 14 in the state that don't have four-lane access, and I think one of her goals through the infrastructure bill a few years ago was to close that gap, allow for economic development opportunities to come to these counties. And that's where we are. There's a study being done right now as to pick the best path. As you guys down in Mobile know, Highway 43 goes up and down the left side, the western side of the state. And I think that will have an impact on the decision that's made going forward as to, you know, the long-term goal of having that western corridor of the state. So, and closing up a couple of the gaps in it that are presently there.
Yeah, so it seems the focus around 43, whether it be going north or going south obviously would connect to 2059 and perhaps going north to the new Interstate 22. But that, you know, a lot of people probably don't, you know, really think of that part of the state as much, but it does lack that connectivity.
Yeah, and my argument all along was, hey, you know, it's a prime opportunity to use the Highway 43 corridor to connect I-22 and I-2059. And really, you know, it's only 60 miles or so. And if we can close a portion of that gap, you know, I think we're headed in the right direction.
Well, Representative, we got to leave it there. We're up against a break here. But thank you for making time for our audience down here in coastal Alabama this morning.
Jeff, thanks for having me. Always appreciate the opportunity.
All right, we'll do it again real soon. That was State Representative Kyle South of Fayette on the line there. We got to get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Never count your money when you're sitting.